When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
WBSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Happy Wednesday to you. Welcome into a new day here on the program, and welcome into a morning that's a little breezy, kind of a nice temperature, but it's going to take a turn, as you heard Sassy say. So get ready for some rain, but that's okay. Tomorrow, they're saying tomorrow, fall-like weather. Sounds good to me. Sign me up. We're just days away from September 1st, and I'm fine with the fall weather coming in. Think you summer people got enough of it, right? You had a couple of heat waves, but overall it wasn't too bad. I'll take it. I just worry because we're due for a bad winter at some point, but hopefully it won't be anytime soon. I'm not a big snow fan, as you probably know. So as I'm sitting here getting ready, sipping my coffee and setting everything up on the computer to get it ready, opening up the tabs and all the things that I use and all of that. It's not a complicated setup here, but I have a specific way that I like things. And as I'm doing that, I've got the TV on. It's on channel 12. The reason why I have it on channel 12 is it looks the best on this TV. Has the most up-to-date and accurate closed captioning, because I don't have the sound on, obviously, while I'm on the air. And also, I like to have channel 12 on because I can go just between 12 and 11 and have the longest continuous local news before they switch over to a network program. So anyway, I have channel 12 on. And they have a story today about the return of students to New Bedford schools. Those in grades 9 and 12 return today at New Bedford High School, and the rest of the students return tomorrow. And they had an interview with Superintendent Andrew O'Leary, who is talking about the chronic absenteeism that New Bedford schools have dealt with since the pandemic, since returning to in-person learning after the COVID lockdowns. And he says, our enrollment is very, very strong this year. Large record numbers in pre-K, and our numbers here at New Bedford High School and throughout the grades are very, very high. So we have the students, we have the staff, and we're ready. So I think if you've got, you know, right now in 2024, you have students who are seniors. Let me see if I get my math right. Started in 2020, 2021, 2022, 2023. So the students who are starting this year were freshmen in 2021, right? That seems to make sense. 2021, 2022, yes. I have to use my, literally counting on my fingers here for the number four. That's how bad I am at math. So these students started in 2021. The fall of 2021. I don't remember when in-person learning went back fully in New Bedford. I know they had the hybrid learning throughout the course of the pandemic. But when you were back full-time every day in the classroom, when did that kick off? Sometime in the... So these students have spent a majority of their high school years back in the classroom. You know, if you were out of the classroom as an elementary school student or even a middle school student, I don't think it has the same effect on you as being a high school student and having to be home all the time. High school is a different beast. You really need to be able to adjust yourself to what high school entails. I remember when I was a freshman, I thought I was ready. I was not ready. It was too many different things going on at once. Too many things to remember. I still have a recurring dream where it's the first day of high school or the first day of college, and I'm just trying to figure things out. And I end up not getting to the right classes, and then I'm screwed for the year. I also have this recurring dream where I'm in college, and sometimes I'm like, well, I haven't shown up for 3 months, so I'm just going to go today. I'm like, this is not a realistic dream. Not that I wouldn't have gone for 3 months. That part's realistic. The part that I'd go back after that. But anyway. I just saw our friend Tuesday. Tuesday DeRocher's on Channel 12 for part of the overdose vigil that happened in New Bedford. Anyway. So these students who are coming back this year have spent a majority of their high school years in the classroom. And certainly, they are far enough removed. Any student that's in school right now is far enough removed from the pandemic that they should be kind of used to being back in the classroom again. Think about the time that you went to kindergarten until the time you went to third or fourth grade. The difference in how used to school you were. It doesn't take long. Also, it's amazing when you're a kid how long it seems that you're going to be in school. Oh my God, I have to go to high school for 4 years. 4 years ago now is 2020. That feels like it was like 18 months ago when you're an adult. But I think the students have gotten used to being back to school anymore. If you're still having chronic absenteeism, and this is nothing against Andrew O'Leary. I think he was a great selection for superintendent. I think he deserved the job. And I think he's going to do a fantastic job as the superintendent. And finally be some stability in that role with somebody who's going to be here for a long time in that role. That's just my feeling. But I think we've probably gotten past the point where we can keep blaming the pandemic for things that happen in schools. Just like if a business goes out of business tomorrow, you really can't blame the pandemic anymore. There's been instances of businesses that opened and then closed again. Well, you know, opened for the first time and closed for good, like in the last 2 years. And, the COVID-19 pandemic. You weren't even a business during the COVID-19 pandemic, and other businesses have done just fine. You just didn't do a good job. Things didn't work out. Let's stop blaming COVID for things that happened in 2024. Now, in some cases, you can look back and say, yeah, that's still having a lingering effect. But I don't think chronic absenteeism in 2024 is because students aren't used to coming back from the pandemic. You've had 4 years now, kids. Suck it up. Go back to school. And of course, the cell phone policies are going into place in a lot of schools as well as school returns, students return to the classroom. At New Bedford High, they decided not to have every kid lock their phone up in a yonder pouch. But the people, the kids who do violate the policy will have to lock their phones up for the course of the day in a yonder pouch. And some parents are upset about that because they feel it should be all or nothing. And most parents, it seems, want nothing. They want the kids to be able to freely use their cell phone throughout the course of the day. We talked about this earlier in the summer, that the students don't have full internet access that they need for things. They were unable to download a PDF on their school-issued Chromebooks. Now, listen, I think anybody that works on a company computer, and I guess you can call a school-issued Chromebook a company computer, anybody who works on one knows there's going to be some restrictions. I have things that I can't do on my company computer that I'm like, that kind of irks me. Oh, I want to be able to use my Rodecaster to record audio onto my computer. I can't do it. I have to reach out to IT and have them approve the software, the interface for it to work. Like, we all go through it. But a PDF? I mean, if the school department puts out a press release, it's a PDF. Most documents now that come attached to an email or that you can download from a site are PDFs. I would argue that not only should a school Chromebook be able to download a PDF, it should be able to create a PDF. They should have a full version of Adobe Acrobat at their for use. We should be encouraging kids to submit assignments in PDF format, because that is what the business world has moved to. If I get a Word doc attached to something, I kind of roll my eyes. Like, Word, really? And this comes from a guy who was a Microsoft Word devotee. When everybody else was like, man, you should really get on Google Docs. I'm like, I don't know, I got Microsoft Word. I mean, I converted years ago now to Google Docs. Much better. But that's an essential part of research. That's an essential part of engagement. That's an essential part of any, really all facets of learning, to have access to PDFs. So I don't know if that has changed yet, and if they're improving some of the restrictions that they have on those Chromebooks in order to say, okay, now you definitely don't need to have your phone out anymore in the classroom. O'Leary told WPRI, cell phones should not be out in the classroom. That's our longstanding policy, but maybe having a completely phone-free environment is the way to go. So we're going to see a pilot of phone lockers at one of our middle schools, of pouches at another middle school, and a slow rollout of pouches here as well. So O'Leary is characterizing this policy of, we only lock up the cell phones of the kids that violate the policy. He's characterizing that as a slow rollout. So it sounds like the plan is to eventually have either the lockers or the yonder pouches for every phone in New Bedford High School. Now, the other side of that, too, is if you're going to tell the kids that they can't have their phones out during school, well, then teachers better not have their phones out during school either. If you tell the students, okay, I want you to write an essay on, you know, what you did on your summer vacation, and all the kids are writing, you shouldn't be picking up your phone and scrolling through Facebook. Now, the other argument is, well, if the kids have Chromebooks in school, they have access to everything that's on their phone already. The difference is the Chromebook is school issued. So the school has the right to block things and to keep you from going to certain sites. And also, it's harder to get on things like Snapchat, which is where kids pass notes these days. From my understanding, it's very rare that somebody actually writes something on a piece of paper and passes it to another person. They just send a text. And they do it through Snapchat so that if the teacher takes the phone, oh, look at the timestamp here. You were texting. Snapchat disappears. So it'll be a challenge. It'll meet a lot of resistance from the students, from the students' parents. But I think it's a necessary thing to crack down on phone use in school, because I can tell you, I see too many adults that are constantly on their phone. So I see plenty of adults that use their phone as part of their workflow. I'm one of them. But I also see plenty of adults who get distracted by their phone and don't get work done. I'm one of them too. And at least at the time that we have students in a classroom where you can implement such policies, because you can do something like that in college, the kids pay to go there. That's one of the things that blew my mind when I went to college. Wait, I can eat and drink in the classroom? Well, yeah, it's not really polite, but yeah, you can. Wait, I can wear a hat and a jacket? But my teachers always told me that was a distraction. And I can tell you, I wore jackets at UMass all the time. I wore hats at UMass, not all the time, because I'm not always a big hat guy, but I wore hats in the classroom, and no, nobody was ever distracted by them. Nobody was ever distracted. And you know what? Nobody went outside in the cold afterwards after wearing a jacket inside and wasn't warm anymore. It's another myth that they told us. Well, if you keep your jacket on all day, it won't keep you warm when you go outside. Bogus. Anyway. Also, I chewed gum in class. It didn't end up getting stuck under the desk. It didn't end up in somebody else's hair. It was fine. And I got up and used the bathroom when I had to use the bathroom. Kids, let me tell you, college is a completely different world. You're gonna love it. 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. Going to take a break here, and we'll be back in a few moments. And welcome back in. We'll take your calls coming up at 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemails always open on the WBSM app. And I mean always open. You can send them 24 hours a day. There's no need to wait for when the show is on. You can send them overnight and I can get them in the morning. And just make sure that if you want to send them to me, if you are sending them in a different part of the day, you get to select which show you want to send the app chat message to. Just make sure you pick this show. Otherwise, I might not see it, but generally I see them all in front of me. And of course, you can use the app for so many other things, such as listening live, listening to podcasts, reading all of our stories, entering our contests, getting live traffic and weather information, and even setting it as your alarm. So you can wake up to this voice and say, oh my God, I'm having a nightmare. And then you pop up out of bed and go, oh no, it's just him. So it's all there for free on the WBSM app. Brought to you by our friends at South Coast Towing. They make it all happen. And they make it so that you can download it free wherever you get your apps from or from the Listen tab at WBSM.com, where you can enter in your email and it will send the app directly to your device. Which was really cool because I was in Michigan last week. I was able to listen on the app to what was going on back home. Able to stay in touch and read the stories and know everything that was going on. Speaking of knowing everything that's going on, it's time for Phil Devitt to update you on all the news of the day.
Phil Devitt. Donald Trump facing a new indictment tied to January 6th. What's making the bees disappear? And millions hitting the road for Labor Day weekend.
From the WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Former President Trump is being charged in a new indictment in his January 6th election interference case. Brian Shook with the details.
A federal grand jury in Washington, D.C. returned the superseding indictment today. This comes after the Supreme Court ruled last month that Trump is entitled to immunity from criminal prosecution from official acts in office. NBC's Ken Delanian has more.
The defense is going to have its own version of this, and they're going to fight probably on some of these things, and the judge ultimately will have to decide. And that may be appealed.
The Department of Justice said the superseding indictment reflects the government's efforts to respect and implement the Supreme Court's holding and remand instructions. I'm Brian Shook.
Vice President Harris and Minnesota Governor Tim Walz are set to sit down with CNN for their first joint interview. Nick Harper reports the pair will be interviewed by CNN's chief political correspondent and anchor Dana Bash in an interview to air at 9 p.m. Eastern on Thursday.
Harris and Walz will be hoping to continue the momentum that they saw during last week's Democratic Party convention, but also try to win over independent, undecided voters who they will want to vote for their Democratic ticket in November. I'm Nick Harper in Washington.
A children's book author who's been accused of murdering her husband will stand trial. A Utah judge made the ruling yesterday after finding probable cause in the case of Corey Richens. Prosecutors claim Richens poisoned her husband, Eric, by lacing his drink with a fatal dose of fentanyl in March of 2022. Her trial is set to begin in April. U.S. companies are being flooded with job applicants from North Korea. Tech startup Cinder told Forbes it suspects as many as 4 in 5 applicants from some job websites are part of a remote work scheme aimed to help fund the North Korean state. A cybersecurity expert says once hired, the applicants use AI to do the work for them. Pesticides could be contributing to a sharp decline in wild bee populations. A new study published in Nature Sustainability shows that the widespread use of 2 specific pesticides are a major driver of plunging bee populations. For certain bee species, high pesticide use contributes to an over 43% decrease in the likelihood a species will appear in a particular location. Researchers stated that, quote, across the contiguous United States, we found that higher pesticide use resulted in lower occupancy of wild bees. A new poll shows a majority of Americans believe you need $200,000 to be happy. The financial advice website CardRates.com recently surveyed over 780 employed Americans between 18 and 43 years old to get their feelings on money and happiness. It found about 56% of those surveyed said they'd be content with a liquid net worth of over $200,000. And nothing like a holiday weekend to make you happy. Many people expected to hit the road for Labor Day. Mark Mayfield fills us in.
AAA reports that domestic travel during the last holiday weekend of the summer could jump as much as 9% compared to last year. The organization says some families may choose to travel to closer destinations due to time constraints. Some of the top U.S. destinations for Labor Day, according to AAA, include Anaheim, California, Las Vegas, Salt Lake City, and Orlando. State and national parks are also expected to be popular spots for people to bid farewell to summer. I'm Mark Mayfield.
WBSM Sports.
The Red Sox snapped their losing streak with a 6-3 win over the Toronto Blue Jays at Fenway Park last night. The series continues this evening, and the Patriots have settled on their initial 53-man roster, and it does not include a familiar face. Quarterback Bailey Zappe was waived on Tuesday. New England opens the season September 8th, visiting the Cincinnati Bengals.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Good to be with you, everybody, on this Wednesday. Starting out the day with mostly cloudy skies, humidity in place, and temperature around 70. As we head through the day, we could be seeing a slight chance for some showers. Partial sunshine, temperature in the upper 80s. By overnight tonight, those showers taper off around 60. Mostly sunny, less humidity or comfy air. By tomorrow in the low 70s, similar weather expected by Friday. Be sure to watch ABC6 for my full 7-day forecast. From the ABC6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Cecilia Carmen on New Bedford News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
Weather on WBSM brought to you by SeaStreak. Whether it's a daycation or a staycation, get there with SeaStreak. Visit seastreak.com for reservations to Martha's Vineyard or Nantucket. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Welcome back in, 508-996-0500. That's the genre that has become known as yacht rock. Michael McDonald, Christopher Cross, two of the icons of yacht rock. Back in the early days of YouTube, or maybe even before YouTube, Google Video, when the internet was a fertile space of video creativity. And it wasn't about revenue generation. It was just about creating something and getting people to watch it and react to it. There was a great web series called Yacht Rock, where these young guys portrayed Michael McDonald, Christopher Cross, Kenny Loggins. And it was about them all having adventures together. It was really funny. There was that. There was House of Cosby. This was before all the Bill Cosby allegations came out. House of Cosby was an animated web series where somebody loved Bill Cosby and wanted him to be their dad, like Cliff Huxtable. So they cloned Bill Cosby, but then they kept cloning the clones. And it was like multiplicity. Each clone of the next clone like became a little bit worse than the original. Including there was just one that would walk around the house all day and just say, "Rudy! I am your father." So anyway, you know, that's when we got, what was it, Chad Vader? Was that what it was? Something like that. Those were where we got all those web series that nowadays is nostalgia for people. Anyway, 508-996-0500. Updating you on some of the stories that we've been talking about this week. We were telling you about Michael Escolas, the Oxford man who stole a car from the Gillette Stadium parking lot during the Kenny Chesney concert, drove at a high rate of speed while intoxicated down Route 1, smashed into a car, and ended up killing a 10-year-old boy. Well, he was arraigned, and some of the details came out about what was going on. And by the way, this is not his first time being charged with driving under the influence. He told state troopers that he drank a little while attending the Kenny Chesney concert. But investigators say he appeared drunk and was driving a stolen car, so they wanted to get a blood sample. However, because he crossed over from Massachusetts into Rhode Island, which is not a far drive from Gillette Stadium, it created all kinds of confusion and issues where they could not legally draw blood from him. Because in Rhode Island, you can. In Massachusetts, you can't. They caught him in Rhode Island, but the crash happened in Massachusetts. The crime happened in Massachusetts, so the whole thing got convoluted, and they had to use other evidence to prove that he was intoxicated. He would not consent to having his blood drawn at the scene. So the Rhode Island Attorney General's office said Rhode Island law couldn't be applied in Escolas' case because the crash happened in Massachusetts, where people must consent to having their blood drawn. I'm sorry. It was the crash happened in Massachusetts. They took him to Rhode Island for emergency care. And he refused to have his blood drawn, even for medical reasons. He also refused a breathalyzer test. So now they're going to rely on other things to try to prove that he was intoxicated, including them recording him calling his wife after the crash, telling her, still one too many, messed up. Also, he appeared confused when talking to state troopers about the car that he had been driving. He apparently told his wife while on the phone with her, it's your car. And then later said, huh? You have the car? I'll find out what I did. So it seems like he didn't mean to steal the car. Unless, you know, in his intoxicated state, he was making this up to try to get out of the crime of stealing the car. But it sounds like he got hammered at the concert and thought that he was taking his wife's car. I don't know how he stole the car. There's no details in the story about, did he break into the car? Was the door open? Were the keys on the visor? Like, but the way they're portraying it is he sounds like he was generally confused about the fact that he was not in his wife's car. So it'll be interesting to see where it goes. 14 criminal counts, including motor vehicle homicide with OUI liquor, OUI second offense, which is what's really going to keep him from getting any kind of leeway in that regard, and also larceny of a motor vehicle. The car belonged to a Vermont couple who were also at the concert. I mean, I think we've all done that, even when not intoxicated. We've all gone up to a car and said, oh, wait, why isn't my key where? Oh, this isn't my car. Especially those of us that have very common cars, very common color cars. Like, I know somebody who has a silver Hyundai. I was like, I see silver Hyundais everywhere. I always could tell my car because for years I had beat up old cars. Something that definitely was mine. Did not look like anybody else's. But now I have a car that's very common. And there are a lot of them around. And there are a lot of them around in the same color as mine from the same year. So there are times that I'm walking toward the car and I'll be like, nope, that's not mine. Different license plate. I've always been like, I should hang some fuzzy dice or something from the rearview mirror so that I know that it's mine. Which I used to do in all my cars. I don't know when I stopped doing that, but probably when they stopped making big fuzzy dice. But I think we've all had that circumstance before where we've walked to the wrong car and realized that it wasn't our car. And it sounds like this guy just went a little too far. How did he get in it? How did it get started? Did he think, well, it's my wife's car. I can break into it anyway. I must have lost the keys. I don't know. Also, did he not take his car there? But we'll keep up with that and we'll let you know any updates that come about. He is currently held on $100,000 bail. We'll let you know how things progress in his case. 508-996-0500. We'll be right back. Welcome back in. Sting apparently has recorded an appearance with Dr. Dre, a feature on an upcoming Dr. Dre song. Because I guess what happened was Dr. Dre put out something about new music coming out. And he said something about how he's not supposed to like say anything about it. And I guess Sting said something like, oh, it was great being, oh, whoops, I wasn't supposed to say anything either. So, word got out that Sting is going to appear on a Dr. Dre track. I think it actually might be Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg together with Sting. So I'm going to guess they probably maybe sampled a Sting or a Police song, and he kind of appears to sing. I mean, Sting is a guy who makes every track better, right? Remember Money for Nothing? That's Sting singing I Want My MTV in that song, and that's because it was the Police's I Want My MTV little vignette that kicked off that whole campaign. Anyway, 508-996-0500. I was just looking at an article. See, we get to see a lot of the articles that other people in Town Square Media write. And there's one here that says that Massachusetts' number one hot dog is the Fenway Frank. I don't know that I would agree with that. Now, I know KM makes a Fenway Frank now. I don't know. I haven't had a Fenway Frank in a long time. But KM makes the Fenway Frank, so that's probably upping the quality a little bit. But I'm not a fan of those. Never really was. Kind of not even really a fan of them at the ballpark. A little bland and plain to me. To me, the best hot dog in Massachusetts is the best hot dog in the world, period. A KM all-beef natural casing hot dog. The ones that snap when you bite them. Those are the best hot dogs. And it doesn't matter what you put on them. I mean, I like, you know, more generic hot dogs sometimes. But if I'm going to go buy some to cook at home, I usually buy the KM's natural casing. I won't get into what natural casing is if you don't know, because some of you might be eating breakfast, but you can Google it. But you got to avoid, you definitely have to avoid some of the low-end hot dogs for sure. We can argue about what's the best, but I think we can all agree some of the low-end ones should be avoided at all costs. Like Walmart carries the, what's it called, the Bar S hot dog. I think that's the name of the brand, Bar S. Like a cowboy brand type thing. Yeah, don't get those. Those just taste like bologna. Literally taste like bologna. Which when you think about it, hot dog, bologna, they're really not that much different. But yeah, no, stay away from those. One time I had just a few bucks in my pocket and I needed some dinner before Spooky South Coast. And I went into the Walmart in Fairhaven and I got a pack of Bar S hot dogs and a can of beans. And I was like, here's a $3 dinner. And it tasted every bit like a $3 dinner. I think I ate a few bites and then threw the rest away. So we can argue about what's the best, but I think we can all agree Bar S is the worst. 508-996-0500. And of course, everybody in New Bedford and on the South Coast has their favorite place to go for hot dogs. The battle between who has the better, well, you know, in New Bedford, people argue about Dee's or Gary's best. Start bringing in Fall River. Oh, and now you got more hot dog places. Oh. But I think we can all agree the worst is a Bar S. And thankfully, none of these places would ever use a Bar S hot dog. 508-996-0500. App chat, open line voicemails, and the WBSM app. We will be right back. And welcome back. We are going to be going into the news in just a moment. And on the other side of that, we'll take more of your calls at 508-996-0500, app chat, and open line voicemails in the WBSM app. In the 8 o'clock hour, we're going to be joined by Dr. John Podkawa, who's going to talk with us. He's a doctor with South Coast Health. He's going to talk with us about the upcoming Nicole Podkawa 5K run and walk, or walk and run. It all depends on which one you prefer. I prefer walking, and I will be doing so on October 6th. It'll be my second year taking part, but my first year since I was diagnosed with cancer. So This is going to be especially personal for me to be able to help raise funds that help not only go to cancer research, but also help go to supporting families who are going through a cancer battle. So we'll talk with Dr. Podkawa about that.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.